Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Subscribe on iTunes at Toddcast Podcast.
What is shaking, man?
What's going on, Zach?
Sharky O'Leary with me.
Nice, yeah. Man. You were on the podcast, I think it was like 2017, 18, something like that. I think it was like one of those Zach Sabbath tours you guys were on in Vancouver and stuff. So
very cool.
So welcome back. I've had you, you know, many times when I was doing the afternoon show at Seafox as well. So we go back a few.
Very cool.
Of course, we're all looking forward to the new Black Label Society album.
Have you heard any of it yet? Or
I've only heard a few songs. The ones that
the Set You Free song.
Yeah. Who came up with the concept for that video? It's a fun video.
I just wanted to recreate my prom. You know what I mean? Back in high school. So
it's nice.
Did a good job. Yeah, that's how it was at Jackson Memorial High School. Yeah, bath salts were a good thing.
Yeah. And I read, I think it was on like, I don't know, maybe I think it was Blabbermouth that you were saying like that this new record is truly a two guitar album, kind of like a Priest or an Allman Brothers or.
Yeah, like, totally. I mean, just the evolution of having Dario, you know, just throughout like throughout the years of the tour. So it's always giving him more things to do. You know what I mean? Or just join the party, you know? So, yeah. I mean, Dario's a great player, so he's phenomenal. So the whole thing is, when I made the record, you know, obviously now it's just, I wrote consciously just going, yeah, we'll do some harmonies here. This will be there. You know, like kind of like I said, with the Allman Brothers or Priest, that type of format.
And 11 albums in now, like it's incredible, isn't it? Did you think you were going to go this far with this band? 11 albums, man. It's like most don't get halfway.
Yeah. I mean, the funny thing is I just looked at, I mean, even when we had the 20th anniversary record, when we did the Sonic Brew thing, it was like, you know, I have my, all my old guitar player magazines and stuff like that from the 70s and everything like that.
Yeah.
But I had Keith Richards on there probably from 76 or something, 77, whatever. It said 16 years with the Rolling Stones, Keith Richards. And I was just laughing going, now they're on 60 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I mean, but then like, I mean, that was all uncharted territory. No rock bands lasted 16 years.
None, dude. No, like
not even
go back to like the Beatles, years. You know, the Beatles when they did like, they were like, oh, you're 6 years in.
Yeah.
Like, did you ever dream? Same thing for Zeppelin, totally. All those guys, right?
Yeah, no, but I mean, that's what you said. Like, Zeppelin, like, 12 years is a long existence for a rock band. You know what I mean? So 16, so, I mean, here's Black Label. We're on, what now, 22 years, something like that. You know, so, yeah, it just flies by. I mean, the No More Tears thing is 30 years ago.
I know, right?
You know, so,
dude, I mean, so many albums came, like, in 1991. That was when I graduated high school in 91. And like, you know, Ozzy, fucking Chili Peppers, Metallica, Nirvana, Pearl Jam, like huge. You look back now, and I mean, now they're considered almost classic albums.
Yeah, there was a ton of them that came out that year for sure.
Yeah,
without a doubt.
And was it like, what was that like working on a new Black Label album during a pandemic? Of course, now you're going to release it during a pandemic. Like, is it any different?
No, not at all. I mean, the whole thing is for me, it's just kind of like, you know, like if you were my, you know, my agent, my booking agent, you know, like my, let's say if I was writing books or whatever, let's say like the last book I wrote was Jaws, you know, and you're like, Zach, you got any ideas for a new one? I said, not really, not yet or whatever. You know, I'm just thinking until you get inspired or whatever. And it's like, yeah, I saw this thing on this kid that was possessed. I was reading this thing. Yeah. I think I'm going to write this thing. I'm going to call it The Exorcist. You know what I mean? And then that's going to be my next book I'm going to write. You know what I mean? So I think, you know, when you're making records, it's kind of for every band or any artist. I mean, you know, just like, to me, it's the next season. You know what I mean? Whether we won the Super Bowl or the World Series, or we almost made it, or we had a pretty decent season, or we had a terrible season, the new season, it just always fresh with, well, you know, of hope of what's going to happen or where this thing's going to lead. You know what I mean? So, I always look forward to every record, every time, because I mean, it's a good time, man, you know, because you never know what you're going to get. So I'll just go out in the gym. I have my amp set up in there, and I'll just, you know, set it at a low volume, so it sounds like I'm at Madison Square Garden just playing by myself. And I'll just start writing riffs until I get something I'm happy with. You know what I mean? So, and if you don't find anything today, come back to it tomorrow and get something.
Yeah. The world never seems to dry up, does it?
Well, no, I think, you know, you just, like you said, if you're not playing something you're happy with, just walk away from it for a little while and just come back to it. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, yeah, there's no sense of getting frustrated or anything like that. Just go, you know, it's just like, it's like in The Exorcist when Father Merrin's digging around for some more, you know, artifacts. Then all of a sudden he finds the Pazuzu head, and then all hell breaks loose. You know what I mean?
So, yeah,
it's good times.
Well, eventually you'll find something.
Yeah, exactly.
Now the last time,
hopefully not the Pazuzu head.
Yes, exactly. Well, hey, there's a good song title. I think the last time that that you were a guest, we were kind of talking about like your longevity in the industry, and you're talking about, you know, greasing the right wheels. How much longer do you think, I mean, I don't even fucking know how to ask this question, but how much longer do you think you'll be at it? And also, has the pandemic made you kind of rethink the game at all?
No, not at all. I mean, I think for a lot of people, the pandemic, you know, you could spend quality time with your family. That's for sure. You
right.
know what I mean? So
yeah.
For people that, you know, didn't get a chance to, you know, they wouldn't see their parents a lot or whatever, you know, they got a chance to, you know, or their grandparents or whatever, actually got a chance to actually spend some quality time with them. So I think it brought, you know, probably a lot of families closer together, which is always a good thing. You know what I mean? So, cause you know, with the grind, I think with everybody, with the, you know, the daily grind of everything and deadlines and the grind, you know, things got to get done. So, I mean, it's just like, I think that with the pandemic, it gave everyone a chance to just kind of breathe for a second and slow down for just a millisecond. So, but no, to me, it's just, I'm just still continuing doing what I love. So that's about it. And I'm blessed. For sure.
Yeah. All right, dude, let's get into some, Black Liberal Society, Zach Wild fan questions. Daryl wants to know, he goes, what's Zach listening to these days? Any new bands or influences?
I mean, I'll listen to everything. I mean, I listen to yacht rock, you know, like on Spotify, you know, like whatever on on your phone, you know, with all the radio and everything like that.
Yeah.
I listen to like yacht rock essentials, new wave essentials. I mean, they'll play everything from like Thompson Twins to Till Tuesday to every, you know, just a like a jukebox of that. And then obviously I'll listen to jazz stuff, you know, whether it's Pat Martino, John McLaughlin, Al DiMeola. And then, you know, Joe Pass, stuff like that. And then obviously I listen to all my staples, whether it's Frank Marino and Mahogany Rush or Robin Trower and Hendrix and, you know, obviously Zeppelin and Sabbath and Bad Company, the Allmans, you know, just like classic rock. So Elton John and everything like that. But, no, I mean, that's what I listen to singer-songwriter radio, you know, like all these artists you would never even hear of. Unless you were listening to that, you know what I mean? So that stuff will pop up while I'm just like jamming it late at night or something like that. But yeah, that's about it. But I think with everybody, you know, you usually listen to all your staples you grew up when you were a teenager, you know, music that just brings back great memories.
Yeah. It's you know, it's the comfort music that.
Yeah, totally.
Makes you feel good. Graham goes, what's he been binge watching lately?
I haven't really been watching. I mean, I hardly ever watch TV anymore. I mean, it's just like, I'll watch like, you know, whether it's Seinfeld or Family Guy or something like that, you know, just to go to when I'm going to sleep or something like that. But, me and my wife, we just watched this, The One, I guess it was on Netflix. It was like a really good really good show. And then the concept of it was really cool. The one, and then the other one called The Serpent, which was a true story. So this guy back in the 70s, this killer guy. But that was pretty interesting as well. But yeah, that's about it. I mean, usually I don't have enough time, or I just, you know, not even into, or, you know, just when I'm going to bed, usually this is all, just put the TV on for a little bit and then I just pass out.
Right. Right. Aaron goes, what's his favorite song that he's collaborated on? Like Porn Star Dancing, maybe My Darkest Days, Ludacris, yeah, you,
that Jack one. Kruger. I mean, the other ones that I'm really proud of, were Stairway to Heaven, Free Bird, and White Christmas. I it was fun working on those as well.
who sang on that Stairway song that you were on?
That would be Robert Plant. He was very good.
No. There's a Stairway, Zach Stairway on.
Oh yeah, there. No. That was just a compilation thing. Keith Olsen and the gang. I remember they put that thing together. So yeah, they just asked me. Of course, it was a Zeppelin tribute thing. So yeah. I was like, yeah, of course.
Adam, ask him about the last Black Label show before the pandemic. I'm pretty sure it was here in Vancouver. The world shut down right after that. I want to know the inner workings behind the scenes of it, and if he was happy with the show that Slade, by the way. I'm not sure exactly
We played at the Rave in Milwaukee.
Okay.
And that was the last gig. And then I remember right after that, we all figured, we're all going to be home for about 2 weeks. Then we'll be right back out on the road. And here we are almost, what is it now, 19 months?
It's a long time.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
it's a long time. Jared, who's your favorite musician to share the stage with? Wow, that's a tough one.
Well, we had Leslie West on stage one time. You know, I mean, same with Black Label and stuff like that. But I mean, obviously, you'd have to be Ozzy. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm just saying of other people outside of me not doing the Black Label thing.
Right.
But yeah, playing with the Boss. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And how'd you get into that family?
What's that
With Ozzy?
With Oz?
Yeah.
Well, I was a steroid dealer back during his powerlifting days. Yes. And he was just like, he didn't realize I play guitar. And I said, that's funny. I didn't realize either. So he said, well, how about this? If you can give me the steroids half price, I'll let you play in my band. And that's pretty much how it happened. So right now we're getting back to trying to get Oz's powerlifting numbers back up, his squat, his deadlift, and his bench. So this way we get him back to Ozzy world-class record numbers that he's previously set. And then once his numbers are back to his standard, we put him back on a lifting platform and off we go and we start touring again.
Cam wants to know, ask him what he thinks about the hologram shows like Ronnie James Dio, the tour a few years back.
I think it's great. I mean, all it's doing is keeping our favorite artists' memories alive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whether it's like seeing cover bands or anything like that. And put it this way, if you go and see it and you have a great, and we all have a great time, all you're doing is celebrating Ronnie's greatness and how awesome he was. So I don't see any problems with it.
Yeah.
You know, it also, it's entertainment. It's just like you're going to see, and if you love Ronnie James Dio, and we all do, it's just like you have a great time. It's no different than when I see any of my friends that play in cover bands. You know, I got my buddies that play in Zoso and everything like that. They're an amazing Zeppelin cover band. Mm-hmm. And every time I've had them, we go see them, we have a great time. It's just awesome. So, you know, and you're just celebrating. I think it's just a celebration of your favorite bands and your favorite artists. So I think it's awesome. I have no problems with it at all.
Kevin says, I know that he's a comic book fan. What did he think about the Vision and Wanda series? Also, is he a Marvel or a DC guy?
Yeah, I mean, Marvel and DC, I mean, I have all the big, the Treasury comics, you know what I mean? The big ones. So I have some old ones as well, but, no, I think, like I said, I think both DC and Marvel are both great. So, I mean, you know,
yeah,
depends on what characters you're into, you know what I mean? So it's just, they're all good, man.
What'd you think of did you see the Vision Wanda series on Netflix or Disney or whatever it was? No.
Nope.
Which superpower would you want to have?
That I could last longer than, 18 seconds in bed. So maybe if I can get it up to, 28, 30 seconds, that would be good. That would be a good superpower to have.
Double your time.
Yes. If I could break the black label Love Dojo barrier.
Melissa, are you a gambler? What's the most you've won or lost on one bet?
No, I never got into gambling. I mean, put it this way. I mean, putting a bet on a game with your buddies, whether you just go $20,
yeah,
says so-and-so is going to win this. It's like, all right, you're wrong. I mean, then it makes the game, whether it's your favorite team or not, it's exciting because you got something invested in the game.
Right.
It
doesn't need to be 200,000. Like
anything. No. I mean, it could just be, even if you put $100 down, with your buddy,
right.
They go $100 says he's going to win this fight or whatever. And he goes, all right, you're on. So
yeah,
you and your friend, it makes the game that much more exciting. So I completely get the whole thing. I got Dimebag and Vinny love gambling. They loved it. So, but no, I got friends that would even go to, love going to the horse, horse racing and everything like that, and putting money down on the horses and everything like that. And I never, even when we'd be in Vegas, I'd end up we'd go to a blackjack table. I'd put some money down. I remember I gave everybody $100, all with me, you, and three of the guys. And it's just like $500. We all put it down and then it was 21. Next thing the dealer just won right there. I go, wow, $500.
Wow.
I go, I won't be doing that again.
Totally, right?
That was about it. I go, I could have thought of a million other things I could have done with $500 right there. So I was just like, that'll be the end of that.
Yeah.
But I got buddies that love it. But, but like you said, the friendly wagers and stuff like that, that's always a good time.
Yeah, agreed. All right, Zach, I'll wrap it up here in a few. I'll respect your time here. I'm pretty sure you probably have a shit ton of other interviews to get to as well. Brad says, this is a fucking tough one. Which three albums would you need if you're stuck on a deserted island?
Let me see. Probably, I don't know. I mean, depends on what mood you're in, right? But I mean,
right.
Let's say, Frank Marino, The Power of Rock and Roll. I guess give me Sabbath, Sabbath, We Sold Our Souls for Rock and Roll, because that's got two of them, right? Best of type thing. And I guess give me a Goodbye Yellbrick Road by Elton John.
Wow. Interesting. Did you just see there was clips on the internet floating around Elton John giving full props to Metallica?
Because I think he just played on, they did a cover record, right? Or something like that?
With Miley Cyrus. Yeah, he was on Stern Show.
Cool.
And I was like, oh yeah, no, Metallica is one of the best bands of all time. Like fucking Hetfield, singer, crying.
Oh, that's awesome. Very good.
Very cool, man.
Totally.
Yeah. Shelly goes, where was your last vacation?
Actually, I think me and my wife were just over at we went down to Cabo.
Oh yeah,
just for a couple of days. Yeah, it was nice. Just to chill out.
Nice.
It's actually more of a vacation for my wife, so she can get she can actually sleep in for an extra hour. What I mean? But between Reveille starts at the house at about 5:30 every morning. With Sabbath Page, just getting him to school and all my yard. So.
Oh yeah,
it's more of a vacation for her.
Oh yeah, I know all about that.
Yeah, when I'm home, that's the vacation for me. Because I'm always torn. So
right. Last one, David wants to know: Star Wars or Star Trek?
Oh, I'm a Star Trek guy, man. Star Wars is great too, but I grew up with the original Star Trek.
Right.
You know what I mean? So yeah, Captain Kirk, William Shatner, and company.
Yeah,
without a doubt.
Yeah. All right, Zach, thanks again, Matt, for doing this this morning. Congrats on the 11th. Wow, 11th Black Label Society.
Yeah, before we'll be talking about the 12th one. So there you go.
Exactly. Doom Crew, Inc., out November 26. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, my brother. Great talking to you again, buddy.
The Toddcast Podcast on toddhancock.ca.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read Podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.